Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience as well as our online audience joining us around the world. We appreciate you being with us as well. We're excited to welcome author Richard Dresser to our program today. Richard's written a great book that I had a chance to read on Amazon Kindle called It Happened Here. It's a fascinating look at family, faith, I think the fate of a nation, and definitely it keeps you turning the page as you go through it. We're going to talk to Richard not only about the writing of the book, but also the relevance of the book today, what it's been like for him to see the amazing response to it, and of course let you guys know how to be able to stay connected with Richard and get your own copy of it as well. Richard, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to be here, Cyrus.
So a lot for us to talk about here. I mean, the title in itself is definitely ominous in itself. It happened here. But it's a book that really draws you in because you're trying to figure out from the very beginning, at least I was, exactly what took place and who were these characters we were meeting. What has it been like for you to be able to see the way that people are drawn to the book?
Well, it's been interesting. A number of my friends who read it and early people who read it were sort of startled at some of the predictions that are in the book. The premise of the book is it's an oral history of an American family from 2020 to 2035. So this family is looking back on the 15 years that we're facing. And it's about a 14-year-old girl who's trying to figure out why her family sort of fragmented at the same time the country did. So that's the premise of the book, and there's a political backdrop to it, of course, but it's really about a family. That's the heart
right.
of the book.
Exactly. And I think the other interesting thing, and we can get more into this later, Richard, is the way that you decided to tell the story, which we'll get into. But I want to talk about the writing of the book. It came out, if I remember correctly, in October, middle of October or so. When did you actually come up with the idea for the book?
Just about a year ago. And it really came out of my sort of anger at what was happening in the country and what it was doing to families. And the first thing that I wrote a series of sort of rants from that is certainly easily the most extreme part of the book. And I sent them around to various other writers and they said, oh, you should do a book from these. But, you know, I wasn't really up for political satire. I feel like in a certain way we've moved past that, and it almost normalizes things too much. What I'm interested in is when the history of this era is written, it will be written about sort of the larger-than-life figures, the public figures, but we're the ones living it, the day-to-day people, and every day we wake up and try to deal with what's going on. And that really intrigued me, and I felt like I didn't want to add to sort of a satirical look at what's going on. I wanted to get down to the heart of it, which is us, which is how are we dealing with this incredibly chaotic period in American history.
I love the fact that you say that, Richard, because I think, like you said, I totally picked up on the fact, and we kind of get from the beginning, that everything kind of begins with, with the structure, and in this case of the book, it happened here with the family and being able to see the parallels that happen and how easily, you know, those fractures that can happen in family can happen anywhere, including with government and then with our country as well. So I mentioned the interesting thing about the way the book is written. You're able to literally get into the lives of these characters and kind of present it to us. I mean, what was that like for you to be able to embody these characters and to kind of live the world that they were living?
Yeah, interesting question. You know, I've been a playwright for many years, and when I'd never written a novel, and when I decided to write this novel, what I kept hearing was the voices of these different characters. There are really eight main characters, and it's their language that we hear. They're telling us the story, and there's no narrator that guides us through. And so it was a challenge writing it because these voices had to be so different. I don't think there's anything more annoying than reading a book where you constantly have to turn back to the beginning and figure out who the characters are. I think the characters are pretty clearly drawn, and that was a big part of the evolution of this book. Was I wrote a first draft, and then I had some people read it, some trusted writer friends, and they said very similar things, which was it's the first, say, 20 pages, you got to make it easier to get into the book. And I really focused on that and focused on distinguishing between the different characters. And it was a real challenge because I felt like I only want the reader to get how these people actually talk. I don't want any description unless they describe each other. I don't want any omniscient narrator. I just want it to be these people. And by writing it that way, I got deeper and deeper into that world because, as you know, memory being what it is, they would disagree about certain, actually very significant events in their lives, which is kind of what we all do. I mean, when I get together right. with my family, my brothers, having gone through the same things, we'll have very different perceptions of it. And I really wanted to capture that in the book, that this is a very alive history of an American family with contradictions and disagreements and all of it, and a great deal of love at the heart of it.
Was there a character that stood out to you the most that seemed to have the strongest voice, or do you feel as though they all kind of were part of this dance that you were creating, Richard?
That's a good question. I think that they all, I mean, as a playwright, I know that there's no such thing as a minor character. Every character, even if they have three lines, you have to fully invest in it. But having said that, interestingly, it's the character of Kate who goes through a kind of hell and comes out the other side. And there was something about her that pulled me in so much because she's so heartfelt and very tough in the way she talks, but you see that she's extraordinarily vulnerable, and she makes it through the storm. And to me, it's almost an heroic quest that she's on, because she's in this terrible situation and she gets into this terrible situation, but she finally finds her way out. And so I think the reason that I'm so connect with that character is that she's ultimately very hopeful. And I think the book on a whole, I don't know if you felt that, but my intention was that it's ultimately a hopeful book, because a lot of families kind of split apart at one time or another. And you talk to people who haven't, talked to a sibling in 15 years and everything. And I'm lucky enough to be from a family that's very, very connected, and we get together a lot with whatever is going on. And I think that there is something hopeful about the feeling that if this family can get along, ultimately, maybe the country can find its way back on course.
Yeah, really good point. Yeah, I totally agree. I tell you the other thing that I thought, and I'm curious as to if this is part of the intent, Richard, or if this is just my being a little Pollyanna. I think one thing also it happened here shows is that people can do things believing they're right, whether that's true to the rest of us or not. I think that is the thing that really stood out to me. I also thought there was an interesting relationship that take place, like with Garrett and with Terrence. And the evolution I felt like that Garrett took in the book as well, getting to a place where he was able to not only, I think, kind of find his place, but also, I think, realize in many respects, maybe it's the wrong way to say it, but what I think is that the world is big enough for all of us.
I totally agree. And I think that my intention in writing, it's interesting you mentioned those two characters, because those are two, just in a very forthright way, very conservative, politically very conservative characters. And I think they are very sympathetic. And I think actually Garrett is probably the most sympathetic because he goes through the biggest change, the biggest evolution in his thinking. And it's not like he sort of suddenly is on the side of his brother, who's quite liberal, But I think there's understanding that happens, and it's such a hard thing. I think for people to change is very, very hard. And he's changed by the circumstances, some of them quite terrible, of family members that he loses. He's sort of almost forced to look at the rest of the family differently and with greater compassion. And you know, the other reason that I feel that the book is hopeful is that, and this doesn't give anything away, but ultimately, by the end of the book, what this family recognizes is the only way we're going to find our way out of the desert is by taking care of each other. And, you know, it sounds very simple, but I look out the window and there's not a lot of that going on right now in a big, obvious way. And I think that the family, these family members, really find that in their hearts, that it's not a me first situation. By the end of this book, it's like, are you okay? What can I do? And I don't think it's tremendously obvious, but again, just as the family is the heart of the book for me, that sensibility is like very hard won at the end of the book.
I'm gonna go back to Garrett. There was a great line that I made a note of. I wanted to share with our audience. But I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome playwright and now author Richard Dresser to our program. We're talking to Richard about his debut novel, It Happened Here. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com, both in print as well as the Kindle edition. I got the Kindle edition, and you guys can get it as well for only $3. So make sure you guys head over and take advantage of that. Garrett had a great line in the book, and I had made a note of it when I read it, Richard, and I want to talk to you about it because I thought it was really interesting. And it says a lot about him and the evolution that I was talking about earlier. He was going through some conflicts at work, and he said this in the book, and I thought this was so interesting. My childhood, talking about what he was going through, my childhood was perfect training for all this. When they go low, I get stoked. And I think that's the thing for a lot of people these days, is they refuse to be broken. Do you think that's also part of the theme of this book, that there are people, regardless of what's thrown at them or what they endure, they will not be broken by it. They choose to keep rising upward.
Yeah, very much so. I'm glad you mentioned that line, because he and his brother Paul had a very difficult childhood, a very demanding, rigid father, and a very troubled mother. And so it did, there is sort of a toughness that comes out of that. And I feel that they sort of pass that on to their kids. None of these kids are quitters. They run into terrible problems. They make really bad decisions. They sometimes end up with the wrong person. They do. They're very human. They do all the things that we do, all of us do. But at heart, they don't quit. And it's the other thing that I found, you know, in writing the book was very exciting for me, was sort of in discovering more and more about these characters. It's like, well, they may be aggressively wrong in all kinds of ways, but they don't back down and they don't quit. And it's one of the reasons I think that the split in the family is so painful, is it's very hard for them to back down, for any of them to back down, because like all of us, they're all convinced that they're right. Nobody sets out to be a bad person. Nobody sets out to be on the wrong side. Everybody is sort of really almost possessed with the idea that their way is the right way. And that's what causes the schism in this family.
It really is a powerful read, Richard, and I know audiences will enjoy it. They will definitely see, as I've noticed even when I was prepping for this, in some of the comments, kind of looking at the world today, maybe see some similarities, but also think it shows us and reminds us of what we're capable of doing. And I think some of us, because of circumstances, continue to push forward in spite of challenges. Others, because of the grit and the fortitude they develop because of those tough times, they do the same thing. But I think in either case, it does show that good can win, It may not be easy, but it definitely is necessary for sure. Again, everyone, Richard Dresser has been our guest. It Happened Here Again is the book. Definitely make sure you guys add it to your reading. And Richard, how can our audience stay connected with you?
You can go to my website, richarddresser.com, and I'm on Facebook, Richard Dresser, and on Twitter at It Happened Here. And I have to admit, I'm a very late adapter. I came very late to Facebook and Twitter and really came to it because of this book. My publisher thought it would be a good idea. And I have to say, it's been a blast, and it's reconnected with me with a lot of people, and it's connected me with a lot of new people and new readers. So I welcome continuing this discussion with people who read the book.
Awesome. Well, Richard, I'll make sure to get my review written for sure. And it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks so much, Cyrus. It was a pleasure.
We all mine. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make today a great one. Take care.